thing here, a message called A Widow and Her Son. Here's a widow and her son. Now, our Lord Jesus, that this says the day after, in verse 11. Now, this is the day after that He had healed that centurion servant's son, just with His word. The man had such faith, he said, "You just say the word." He never did talk to Christ. He just sent word, and then he sent friends to stop him from coming. He understood what it was to have authority, what it was to have power. And then the next day after that, he goes to another city. He leaves Capernaum and goes into the city called Nain. And as our Lord was coming into this city of Nain, and when he came nigh to the gate of the city, there in verse 12, he's coming nigh to the gate of the city. There's, while he was coming in, there's a funeral procession going out. Pretty good sized funeral procession. It says there that much people of the city was with her. A funeral procession. How many funeral processions have we seen in our lifetime? I have seen them. Oh my goodness, I couldn't tell you. How many have we ourselves been in? Been in too many. But he was coming and he encountered a funeral procession. And who hasn't been to one? Who hasn't seen a profession? Who hasn't buried a friend? Who hasn't buried a loved one? And as we go and see these things, we can pity them. We can weep with them. And as a funeral procession goes by, we can take our hat off and show respects. Stop our cars. Let them go by. But here comes this funeral procession out of town. This coffin being carried out. A dead man being carried out. And here he comes. But there's one coming into the city while they're going out. But there is one alone who can lift the load of grief, the load of grief and sorrow from this broken, aching heart. And you know, in all of our Lord's miracles, we always look for the spiritual. We look for the spiritual. Not the natural. He does natural things for us to see the spiritual things. And what we have here, this raising of this young man's dead body, is a demonstration of our Lord's power. A demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit to raise a soul dead in sin to life. And only He can do that. And that's why He done these things, that God might be glorified. And He done these things that we could be saved. And this man's going to be saved. But first of all, we want to look at this woman. Look at this woman. It says in verse 12, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And watch this, she was a widow." Now this poor woman is in a sad condition. She was a widow. She had done lost a husband. She had a past that was already had a lot of darkness in it, a lot of sorrow in it. So you know she didn't have a husband. She is all alone in this world other than her son. She had been through this funeral procession before. She had took the love of her life. She had took the one that the two became one. And she carried him out and done the same thing. And no doubt it was a heart-rending loss. No doubt it was great sorrow to her and great suffering to her. Probably a very mournful funeral. And then after she lost her husband, all that loneliness that follows. That emptiness. That going home and not being there. Going and not seeing them and not hearing their voice anymore. And that's what she was going through. And oh my, she had a past that was so sorrowful and sad. And maybe she is just about to get over it. Maybe, you know, the Lord was covering her heart. She's getting through it. And then all of a sudden, something else happens. And what about our past? How much time has our life been sorrowful and sad? And who's the only one that's ever been able to comfort and do anything for it? You know, when it comes time to even trying to cheer somebody up, I don't know about you all, but you know you can get so low and get so down that nobody can comfort you. That the Lord can be the only one that can do it, no matter what you say to somebody. And you know they mean well. You know they want to encourage you. You know they want to comfort you. You know they want to console you. And we, most of the times, we're like Job's three friends. When we get around and something really going on, we just have to sit there and silence. Because there ain't, a lot of times there ain't nothing you can say. Just feel with them. Ain't that right? And that's the way she was. Now she not only had a sorrowful and a dark and a sad past, but look at her sorrowful present. Now there again in verse 12, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Watch this. The only son of his mother. The only son of his mother. She'd done been through this once with her husband. Now her only son. Her only son. Another season of trial. Another season of grief. Another season of heartache. The darkness of death had already covered her heart. The darkness of death had already come and covered her heart in darkness. And here the darkness of death comes to cover her life again. And this was the only son she had. And evidently she didn't have any other children, or that wouldn't have said that. He would have told about the other children being with them. But this was her only child. I'm sure of that. So she was sorrowful at the present. And then not only that, but her future didn't look good. Her future didn't look good. This was the only son of his mother. You know, at least she had him. She had someone to cook for. She had someone to talk with. She had someone to comfort her and to be a comfort to. Somebody that would support her and work for her and meet her needs. They didn't have welfare back then. That was, you know, when your family's gone, if you didn't have a job, you'd starve. Somebody had to take care of you. That's what it meant. It says, those that are widows indeed, let the church take care of them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what it meant. They take them in. That's why they appointed the first seven deacons for this very reason right here. You take up and you see that these widows right here have food, got a place to stay, and got clothes to wear. You see that that's taken care of. And here's this woman. She's lost. Her future's gone. She's now without hope. She's sure enough going to go home to an empty house. She sure enough is cast down now. And it seems, and I tell you, it's the hopeless, hopeless souls like this. Cast down souls like this. Souls like this without any strength that cross Christ our Lord draws nigh. It says, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, oh my, he's coming nigh, and they're going away. He comes upon this scene. And that's who Christ draws nigh to. Those helpless and hopeless and cast down and sorrowful without strength and with heartaches and fears and anxieties and emptiness. That's who the Master draws nigh to. Now watch what happens. Now we see a strong and glorious Almighty Savior. And I tell you this, I love this. The nearer she came to the grave, the nearer she came to the life-giving Savior. He's coming this way and she's going this way. Huh? Oh my, the more closer she gets to that gate going out toward the graveyard, the closer she gets to Christ. And Christ gets to her. She don't know that. It's always darkest before dawn. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And our Lord, our dear blessed Savior, meets this funeral. And here we have life. Life. The only one who has life, the author of life,
amen,
the giver of life, the power of life. And our Lord meets this funeral. Life comes into contact with death and its darkness and its helplessness. And all this widow's earthly weakness and sorrow and disappointment are met by our Lord Jesus Christ's strength. By the consolation that only He can give and the hope that's in Him. Here, beloved, sin's ruined. We see it. This man's dead. You know why he's dead? Sin.
Amen.
That's why everybody dies, because of sin. We're going back to the dust, because from the dust we come. Even those that are saved by the grace of God, we're going to the dust. Sin's going to cause this body to have to die, and sin was ruined, but God's remedy was fixing the need.
Amen.
And look what our Lord does first in verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, He saw her now. And I'm sure He saw tears just flowing. I'm sure He heard her wailing. Because no doubt she was. And when our Lord saw her, when the Lord saw her, what's what he said? He said he had compassion on her. He had compassion on her. How many times, this is one of the portraits, one of the things that portrays our Lord Jesus Christ as well as anything about him. How many times you go through the scriptures says the Lord had compassion. He looked at a great multitude one day and he had compassion on them as they were sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them for they had nothing to eat. Oh, our Savior stood over Jerusalem one day. And it tells us here in Luke that he wept. And he had such compassion on Mary and Martha and her family that he stood and wept with them at the grave of Lazarus. Oh, our Lord, look over here at Hebrews 4:15. Look at Hebrews 4:15. And that's all we can do is just, you know, there's so many times that we can't do anything and all we can say to somebody is say, Lord, you have compassion on them. You manifest your, you come and comfort their hearts. Look what it says here in Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, those high priests and those priests today that call themselves priests, they can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. They can't enter into our hearts. They can't enter into our burdens. And we can't go to them and touch them with our feelings and our infirmities. They can't enter into our hearts. They can't enter into our souls. They can't enter into our burdens. But that's not the way our priest is. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling. The feeling. Not just the knowledge of them, the feeling of them. You feel your infirmities? You feel your weaknesses and your inabilities? You feel your downcastings and your sorrows? You feel your confusion and darkness and fears for the future? Here he says, oh my, he feels our infirmities. Huh? And here's what's so glorious about it. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he's without sin. And our infirmities is because of sin. And yet he can feel them. And watch this. So let us with these infirmities, let us with this great high priest that feels our infirmities, that we can touch, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and find grace to help in a time of need. Oh my. Bless his holy name. Who else are we going to go to? I'll tell you something. Look back over in our text now. Look back in our text. Now, our Lord was a stranger to her. When he had compassion on her, he was a stranger to her. She didn't know him from nobody. But she was no stranger to him. She didn't know who he was. But she knew who, he knew who she was.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Oh, my. He was no stranger to her sorrow and her grief. Ain't that what the scripture says? That he is acquainted, a man acquainted with sorrow and grief. So he was acquainted with everything she is going through. He was acquainted with her grief. He was acquainted with her sorrow. He was involved in it. And oh my, let's look over at Isaiah 63. Let me show you this just a minute. And I'll move on. Look in Isaiah 63. You know, and I've done this. I hope you haven't done it. I hope you're not as weak as I am, but sometimes our sorrow and suffering and our burdens causes us to lose sight of the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get so burdened down and so dark and trouble seem to be so overwhelming that we completely lose sight of the compassion of the Lord. We just sit and grovel in our burden, grovel in our sorrow, grovel in our heartaches. And things that trouble us. And we lose sight of the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says here in Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. You know, even when you don't know it. And all their affliction, he was afflicted. This woman here, in all of her affliction, he was afflicted with her. And all your affliction, he's afflicted with. We're so close to one. We're so united. We're so joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his blessed person. He's the head and we're the bodies. And I tell you, beloved, he is so joined to us that he called, he says, he didn't say Donnie's iniquities, he says mine iniquities. My sins more than the hairs of my head. He's so identified with us that he said, I'm a worm and no man.
Amen.
And all their affliction, he was afflicted. And watch this, and the angel of his presence saved them. Now listen, in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And listen now, here's this widow carrying her son out to the grave. He redeemed them in love and pity, and he bare them and carried them all the days of hope. Well, her future's fixing to change. Her future's fixing to change. Look back over now. Luke 7. Now, our Lord's fixing to give her an unusual word of comfort here, down there in verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Watch this. And said unto her, weep not. Weep not. Not weep. And my son's in this casket. I'm going to the graveyard, not weep. Not cry. What are you asking of me? What are you telling me? Doesn't he know this is my only son? Is he mocking me? Is he mocking me, making fun of me, telling me not to weep? Oh, beloved, our Lord Jesus knows what he was to do and what he is going to do. And when he tells us not to weep, he'll give us a reason not to weep. When he tells us not to weep, he's fixing to dry our tears. He didn't say, you know, now, when I was a boy, and they done that, everybody, as far as I know, they done this. Your uncles or your mom or your dad or your granny would whip you. And then if you cried too much, they said, I'll whip you if you don't shut up. I'll whip you for crying. Now that's a great, they'll whip you till you squall, and then dad or they said, I'm going to whip you again if you don't shut up. That don't make sense. But here our Lord, when he tells us not to weep, he's going to give us a reason not to weep. He'll give us good cause not to weep. And here, look what he does now. Now here comes this coffin out. And these people are carrying these coffins. You see them the way they do over there in the Mideast now. They're still the same way in Israel. You see them carry them. They got the casket. They had the wooden caskets. And there's three on each side carrying them up over their shoulders like this. And these men, these young men are carrying this man out. And our Lord Jesus came. And he walked up there and it's coming out. He seen the casket and he just walked up to it while they're still walking. And he touched it. He just touched it. Laid his hand on it. And when he touched it, they stopped. They stood still. They just stood still. Oh my, this was an arresting touch. A touch of mercy that's going to save. A touch of mercy. You see, just a little while longer. And a little while longer, just a short time, he would have been buried plumb out of sight. They would have had him at the graveyard and had him in the ground and had him covered up. So who's going to stop that soul who is not far from being buried out of sight? I think of my own children. It won't be long for them to be buried out. Who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them and touch them? Who's going to stop and reach out and touch them? I can't do it.
No.
I just see them going. I just see them dead. I just see them heading out. And if the Lord hadn't, in just a few minutes, if Christ hadn't have been there, they would have had him in the ground, buried out of sight. If Christ doesn't stop a man fixing to be buried out of sight, who is going to do it then? Who is going to do it? Oh, do you see the danger of our loved ones? But oh my, listen to what our blessed Savior said now. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, Didn't even call his name. Called Lazarus. But he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Huh? Oh my, life commands death. Turn loose. Life, the power of life, the power to give life, the power to take. Life says death, turn him loose. Light commands the darkness to vanish and dispel it and get it away from here. Look over here in John 5 with me just a moment. You see, our Savior speaks, and it's done. When our Savior says live, you're going to live like that infant cast out in the field. You know, that's why Nicodemus, our Lord said to him, when he told him about the new birth, he said, oh, how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? He said, it'd be no different. Your birth would be no different if you couldn't do that than it is right now. That is born of the flesh is flesh. Can anybody bring a clean thing out of an unclean? God don't even do that. He brings into existence a new thing.
Amen.
And oh, you don't understand that you're a master of Israel, don't know nothing about the new birth. You remember that infant cast out in Ezekiel 16? That's what he's saying to him. Don't you know how many people that have life given to them in the Old Testament? There's that infant cast out, polluted in his blood. Nobody to swallow it. No, I pitied it. And I passed by and I said unto thee, yea, live. I said unto thee, yea, live. See these dry bones, Ezekiel, can they live? Oh, Lord, thou knowest. And when that ark rested on Mount Ararat, and that water assuaged, when Noah walked out of that ark and stepped on new ground, that's just like resurrection ground, new life.
Amen.
Everything's new from then on. Huh? And oh my, when He speaks, it's done. All things obey when our Lord Jesus speaks. There's none of this little old Jesus who wants to and can't and tries and fails, that would like to is not able. No, no. And I'm telling you, the time's coming when every soul on top side of God's earth, even in the grave, and those that are alive will hear the voice of the Son of God. Some will hear for life and some will hear for damnation.
Amen.
Oh my. Look here in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. And that hearing means hear with understanding and belief, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Ain't going to come into judgment. But what is he? He's passed from death unto life. How in the world does a dead man hear a voice? It's according to whose voice it is. He won't hear my voice. And he won't hear your voice. But if he hears the voice of the Master, hears the voice of Christ, hears the voice of Him who gives all life, yeah, he'll pass from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh my. So you see, he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Look what happens in verse 15 over here. Oh, that, you know, said the same thing about he that was dead came forth. And watch this. He that was dead set up. And not only did he set up, but he began to talk. He began to speak. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard what he had to say? You know, it's just speculation on my part. I believe when he raised up, he looked over at his mother and said, Mama, what are you crying about? You know, because death to him was just gone. It's like it never been. And he looked over at his mother. And I'm sure he said something to her. But oh my, he that was dead set up and began to speak. And oh, we have an example here of being begotten again by the Word. By his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The word of God, when Christ sends the word, and the word comes with power, it's going to give life. It's the word. That's why people must come and hear the gospel. If you're interested in seeing anybody converted, anybody saved, they got to come hear the gospel. The word is going to begat them. It's the word that brings life. It's the word that regenerates. It's the word that God uses. And Christ spoke, and life came. And what a change. What a change took place in this man. What a change the Word of Christ brought in this man. What a change the living Word of God brings to a soul. A moment ago, this man was laying cold, helpless, lifeless, silent, corrupting. And now he sits up. Blood's flowing through his veins. His body's warm. He's able to talk. He's able to see and testify of his resurrection. You know what he is? He's a new creature.
Amen.
He's a new man brought from the dead. Ah, boy. Look what happens now. Verse 15. He that was dead sat up and began to speak. And I love this. And he delivered him to his mother. I believe the Lord Jesus took his hand and said, "Here, here, take your son back. Take your son home. Go home." Huh? Oh, let me tell you something. When he saved this son from death, he also saved his mother.
Yes.
She has partook as much of the salvation when God saved her son. It was just like him saving her. I mean, if you give your life, your child life, it's like giving you life. And boy, that's why the father said, "Here my son was dead and now he's alive." And here, sure enough, he was a man that was dead. And he not only saved the son from death, but he saved the mother. He gave comfort to her. He brought life back to her soul. He brought light into her darkened soul. And oh my, this my son was dead and now alive. Oh, and I tell you, this happy and blessed reunion, he brought the mother and the son together. Can you imagine the embracing? Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine what it was like? And this is just a foretaste. You know what this is? This is just a foretaste of what kind of reunions are going to take place in glory. Yeah. Yeah. When death is conquered, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? When loved ones meet again in the presence of our blessed Lord, and just as sure as God's on his throne, we'll know one another. When we get to.
Amen.
We'll know as we're known. I don't think I'll look a whole lot different than I do now. You know, whatever our Lord's body was when he came from the grave, that's what he took back to heaven with him. Whatever body had last Moses and Elijah had, that's what they met the Master with on the mountain. And they recognized him. We'll recognize Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when we get there. Scriptures tells us. And there's people that went on that we love when we get there. And you know, it'll be a whole different relationship. It won't have nothing to do with this life. It'll have something to do with all that life. And it will be no sorrow. It's going to be one of the most mysterious things, but it's going to be one of the most glorious things ever was. You know, there'll be nothing to ever hinder. Nothing to ever hinder the heart being perfect, the heart being one, the fellowship being perfect, the communion being one, and enjoying one another. And if this earth here has so much blessedness in it, and so much glory in it, and so much enjoyment in it, you imagine what the new one's going to be like without any curse on it. Oh my. But it's going to happen. Look what it says here in verse 16, and I'm done. "And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God." Oh my, they should glorify God. They just saw a dead man brought to life. And ain't that what happens when we see a sinner brought to Christ? We glorify God. We give God the glory. We bless God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving those people. Thank you, Lord, for opening their heart. We glorify God. He's the only one worthy of glory. And watch what it says. And fear came on all. They were in awe. They were reverent. Oh, and watch what it says. God hath visited His people. God's been here. And He visited two of His people right here. And where He visits His people, He gives life. He gives comfort. He gives light. He gives hope for darkness. Light for darkness. Life for death. Sorrow He takes away and puts joy in. And oh my. And they glorified God. Let me show you two things. And I'm through. John 9:3. Talk about glorifying God. Everything our Savior does, He does to bring glory to His Master. Glory to His Father. And oh my, that's what we want to do by His blessed grace. Look here in John 9:2. And our Lord's passing by, and He saw a man which was blind from his birth. That's what He's doing here. He's just going into the city. But you think He didn't know that funeral was coming? Oh, it was His people. Said God had visited His people. Now watch this. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was born blind for one reason. So Christ come give him life. And you know, whenever you find out you're blind, you don't have no words on one place. Only one place you can get light. Get sight. Look over here in John 11:4. This is Mary and Martha sending Lord word to the Lord Jesus about their brother. And it says in verse 3, John 11:3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest. Oh, he loves these people. He whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Oh my. That's what we want, ain't it? That's what we want to see. Lord, there's dead. Give them life. There's blind. Give them sight. Visit your people. Visit your people. Isaiah said, visit this plantation. Visit this plantation. God's plantation. Visit it, Lord. Visit. Our Father, thank you for your wonderful grace. Blessed, blessed grace and love and mercy you have for your people. Bless the word to our hearts tonight. Strengthen us, encourage us with it. Lord, it brings such light, such comfort. It really knows us. It reveals our hearts to us. And thank you for that. Bless these dear saints as they go home and go to their jobs and go about their lives. Strengthen them, encourage them, and uphold them. And save your people, as we often ask you, in this place, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. He's all I need.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure, He is all I need. And He is.
See you Sunday, God willing.